Hello, everybody. Jim Malone here, coming to you live on Dallas Trading Floor. It is Monday, the 5th of December. The market's down pretty much overall. Interesting thing on, just wanted to put out there, I did short Apple today, and I'll give you a little bit of insight on that. I also am short Amazon and a company that I did close the short on was NetApp today. I'm long. I'm long just two stocks right now. I'm long MRO, which is Marathon Oil. Now I did sell half of my position today as the market kind of weakened, and I am long BP, British Petroleum. So basically, trying to short the big cap tech stocks. And akin to try to be long in the oil space. So let's get into it. Basically, the reason I shorted Apple today, really, really simple, and that is that actually Apple is moving out of China. Very interesting development here. Basically, they're moving their manufacturing hubs, and they're going to move them to Mexico, Vietnam, India, and I don't think it appeared there, and Thailand, also, of course, in the U.S. But the big areas that they're moving to is the U.S., Mexico, Vietnam, India, and Thailand. Now, obviously, they still have production in China, but it's been increasingly difficult with the lockdowns and things going on in China to get reliable supply. So Apple is very interesting in this case. I do think that in the short term, I think in the long term, this is a good move, but I think in the short term, it's going to probably hurt Apple stock. That's my take on it. And so basically, I kind of want to show you the change in Apple over the last year or so, and that basically is showing this downward trend. I mean, basically, there's no way to sugarcoat it. It's a downward trend, and it's been going on essentially since for about a year. Apple overall is down about 20.2%. Now, in terms of the big caps techs, that's not a lot. Amazon is down over almost 50%, about 49%. So that's not quite as much, but I do think we're going to see some of the big cap techs roll over here. Many of the largest funds are heavily invested in these stocks, and of course they're going to have to sell them probably at a loss. And it's December, so what they're going to try to do is probably move out of some of these stocks, just because the outlook for next year is not looking good. So we have a lot of we have a lot of potential for selling. Right now, Berkshire Hathaway's largest holding is in Apple stock, and it's not doing well for the stock. So I do expect that they're going to have to liquidate at least some or all of their positions in Apple. Now, this is going to take place probably over a period of time. We will see what happens here, because you never can completely tell on this. It's it depends. But if the big cap funds start to liquidate Apple, we might be in a good position for a short. Now, I did short the stock. I did short Apple today at a price of 146. Now, it is up a little bit after hours, so it is not. It's not exactly at the right price. But currently, it is at. Currently, Apple stock is selling in after hours for 146, about 80. So it's up a little bit after hours, but we will see what happens. I have a stop loss on this one up in the 150 range. So we'll see what happens. But I do expect that we're probably going to move lower if the large cap tech companies start to true up their balance sheets for the end of the year. So I do expect that there's going to be selling pressure in some of the very biggest of the tech stocks, Apple. And then I also believe we're going to see a lot of pressure also in Amazon, because I don't think their numbers this year will be as good as have been in the last few years. I do think that we are going to see a situation also with Amazon, as the stock will probably move lower. There was an announcement a few weeks ago that Amazon is expecting to basically fire 10,000 people and cancel two or three distribution centers that are under construction. They're not going to be constructed. So we do see overall long-term, at least in the mid to long-term, the mid to medium terms, not the long-term, we do see a lowering demand for their products. Also, Amazon Prime is also having trouble with adoption. A lot of people probably are going to cancel that this year, my guess, just because of its expense. Here's kind of what I have currently long. I'm long again BP. Now, that was down today, about 1%. Also, I'm long Marathon Oil. Now, if you're looking at Marathon, there's two Marathons. There's a MRO, the one that is the E&P company, the exploration and production company. And there's also one MRC, which is Marathon, and that includes the retail presence. So the retail presence is doing a little bit better than the E&P area. So it was down a little bit today. I did cut half of my position long on that stock. Also, these are the shorts that I do have currently. And they're Amazon. Amazon was down about 3% today. Not as much volume, but down 3% to 91. NVIDIA, this is another one that I did short today. It was down relatively 1.5%. And then Apple, again, we talked a little bit about that. That was just down just a little bit less than 1%. But I do expect that these will continue lower. That's my guess. Just wanted to show you quickly the put to call ratio, and sometimes the put to call ratio can indicate a bottom of the market. Typically, if it moves, if the put to call ratio moves above about 1.15, that typically indicates that we are making a market bottom. So because the put to call ratio now is 0.81, it doesn't look like we've done giving up ground. So as long as it stays down there, the indication is, at least from the options traders, that we are looking at possibly it going lower. We're looking at the market going lower in general. So that's kind of the long and the short of it there. All right, let's take a look quickly at one of our charts, and of course that is going to be the spider. The reason we look at the spider is because, first of all, it's a very good indication of the overall market, and it indicates kind of where we're at in terms of, you know, where we're at in terms of the market, and so it tends to be a good indicator. As you can see on the chart that we have up here, the spider has moved up, basically, but I do think it's getting some resistance right at the 200-day moving average. So let's kind of go over here. I'm going to go over to the daily chart here and show you this black line here that I'm pointing at. This is the 200-day moving average. And what happened was we had a nice bounce off of the double bottom pattern. We came right up to that 200-day line. We moved a little bit above it, and now we're starting to see it get some resistance here. This is why I'm thinking that we're probably, at least towards the end of the year, we're probably looking at a lower market. Why? Because, because this indicator, which is the 200-day moving average, you can see it's come up to the 200-day average, and now it's moving lower. Currently, after hours, the spider is trading at 399.92, so it's right about 400. And as Jesse Livermore says, and he's definitely should study this man because he was one of the greatest traders to ever live. Interestingly enough, we tend to see resistance and support at even numbers, and 400 is definitely that case. I do think we're going to take another leg lower. My guess is we could move below 350 on the spider, and if we do, that means there's going to be a lot of sell-off probably in some of the larger cap tech stocks, because that's where a lot of the that's where a lot of this is. All right, let's take a look over to the questions. Thank you very much for coming in on the questions. Tariq, let's see. Hey Jim, what's your thought on SLV? So take a look at SLV, see what we got going on there. SLV. And that is the silver. Okay, so here's the thing, and this is probably going to sound very contrarian to you, and hopefully I won't offend anybody by saying this, but the silver brokers and the gold brokers are going all out to try to convince everybody that silver is the way that you protect yourself against inflation, right? Okay, you would think that. I disagree. I think that the number one producing asset in terms of return this year has been cash. So my viewpoint on that is that, you know, silver sounds good. A lot of people are gonna do it, but I don't think it necessarily is the assets you want to be in. I think you want to be in cash. And the question is, well, can you be in cash? Well, one of the ways you can do it is by shorting stocks, because basically what I'm doing is I'm borrowing people's stocks, I'm selling them, and then I'm waiting for the value of the stock to go down, hopefully. And if it does, then I'll buy it back, and that difference is the difference between the cash price and the asset price. And that is the way that you can invest in cash, interestingly enough. Also, another way to invest in cash, the number one hedge, I believe, against cash is oil, because it's used by everybody. And it's unlike silver and gold. You can't eat silver and you can't eat gold. Now, silver is used exclusively, you know, in a lot of industrial processes. So it's probably more important than gold. But the problem with silver, of course, is that everybody's saying that, you know, silver is going to go up, and it probably will go up a little bit, but I just think that there's better opportunities to make money in the market. So long story short, I've really been kind of going in a long story here. The thing about the iShares silver is it is finally moved above the 200-day moving average. Now, typically, I won't buy a stock unless it's moved above that average. Oh, by the way, this is an ETF and not a stock. I correct myself. This is an ETF, an exchange-traded fund. Now, it does have a relative strength of 83, but I don't like the way this looks. I think it came up, it tested about 22 here, and it looks like it's pulled back a little bit. Currently, after hours, it's trading at $20.46. So do I recommend this? Well, I'm not that excited about it. Let's kind of go in. I want to kind of look at some things on it just to see if we can get an idea of kind of what is, you know, what is the situation for. Let's go back to that. What is the situation for this this ETF? And if we look at the technicals, we are basically above, you know, everything. We're above the 200-day line, 50-day line, 21-day line, and 10-day line. That's positive. That's very positive. But the checklist is only 56. So I think I probably at this point would not be a buyer of this one, just because I think that there's better things on the horizon. I am not a real fan of gold or silver, just because of what I said about that. What I do like to do in markets like this is I like to be short. So some of the ETFs that short the market, like the UPRO, could be really, really good. Let me show you. Let's take a look at the UPRO just for a second, and compare it against the iShares silver. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to put this up here, and let's see. Okay, so this is the silver. This is silver as it stands. Let me go ahead and see if I can move that over to the correct for everybody here. If I can give you the correct. Did I do it right? No, I don't think I did. Okay. So let me move that over to, so we can take a look at the comparison chart here. That's what I'm doing, we're looking at the comparison chart between them. So let me get the right slide up for people on YouTube. There we go. Oops, wrong one. There we go. That's the right one for YouTube. So okay, so here we are with. Okay, so here we are with YouTube, and I want to compare the silver against the UPRO. This is the, okay, and as you can see, the UPRO is definitely definitely lower. So, well, silver's done pretty well, I have to admit, over the last year. Same kind of action there. All right, very interesting. So let's look at the technologies, compare that. Okay, so that's right in about the middle. So you're right. I mean, the silver has, at least since October, has outperformed the UPRO and the QQQ. So that's very interesting. So, I may have misspoken there. I am not necessarily a fan of silver, but this is definitely showing the right kind of action. I mean, it was in a downward trend, but then starting in about October, it's moved up. So I probably myself wouldn't be a buyer of this, but you know, this is not necessarily bad. Pulled back a little bit today. Let's see if it gets supported about $20. And then, you know, if it moves higher, then it might work. I really appreciate that. I would have not normally have picked that one just because of my viewpoints with silver and gold. All right. Any thoughts on oil and Vale? Now, for everyone out there, Vale is a miner. It's in South America, very large copper miner. And typically, the way copper works is that, yeah, there we go. Mining and minerals in Brazil and five other countries. Well, Vale mines primarily copper, and copper does very, very well in inflationary periods. And we are sort of in an inflationary period, but, and it is coming out of this base. So the question is, could we buy Vale here? You know, it's above the 200-day line. It's above the 21. It's above the 10. It's at 1643. That's the price on it. Fairly decent checklist, 67 on that. Let's look at the technicals. Yeah, this is what I was talking about before. It's a little bit, well, it's pretty close to the 21-day line. You really typically don't want to buy anything more than about 5% above that 21-day line. That's at 1538. So this is such a inexpensive stock that it's going to be a little bit more, it's going to be a lot more volatile. The last buy point was up here at 2031. I don't know. I think that you could possibly start moving into this one. This is the kind of thing that would do well in, you know, kind of the situation that we're in, you know, with shortages going on. You know, again, copper is, you know, it's in demand out there and fairly high priced. Now, if we have a slowdown in industrial production, worldwide, which may happen, then there would be a little bit of pressure on the price of copper. But this looks pretty good. This is a good chart. This is a good chart. All right, let's go over to VIPS, VIPS. Take a look at VIPS and get an idea. VIP Shop. Okay, this is the branded apparel. Yeah, this one has done very, very well, which, you know, I don't know. I have not seen this company, but it has done very well. It's a low, you know, interestingly enough, you know, retailers can do very, very well. And many of my best stocks have been actually retailers. And this is right at a buy point right now, 96 relative strength. I don't know the reason why it's that way, but it just came through earnings and definitely we're buyers here. So the question is, and I don't have any inside information on this, we're a little bit extended over that 21-day line. We're 25% above the 21-day line. So that does bother me a little bit, but the buy point on this is 1198, so the 1197. So you definitely could take a position here. And this has an incredibly strong checklist. It's a 989% checklist. The only thing that it's lacking on is sales. Let's take a look at some of the fundamentals on this one. By the way, what I'm doing is when I'm looking at the charts, that's technical analysis. And when I'm looking at the actual numbers, you know, that's fundamental analysis. So Cansome Trading is a combination of both. Now, interestingly enough, and this is fascinating. I don't know what's going on here, but their sales were down 21% in the last quarter, but their profits were up 57%. So I don't quite understand what's going on, to be honest with you. They have cash flow, but they have a price to earnings ratio of 8. So relative to what they're making a lot of money. And compared to the other ones out there, like Chewy, this is a much better deal. I don't know. I don't know if I could get all that excited about it, but it does, you know, it does have some good characteristics here. It's above that, you know, that 200-day line, 96 relative strength. It's got the little Easter egg there that shows that it's moving stronger. Here's the thing. I think it's a little extended. What I mean is that it's gone up a little bit fast for me. Now, I would definitely watch this one, but I probably would not buy it at this level. I want to see if it pulls back. It may pull back closer to that 21-day line. I think it may pull back to maybe 10 or 11, and that might be a place that you could buy it. It's definitely a good stock. There's no question about it. I just think if you were to buy it here, it would very likely pull back possibly to that 21-day line. That's kind of where I think it might pull back to. That's also essentially the 200-day line. So here's what I would do if I was interested in the stock. I would wait and I would see if it would pull back a little bit. I do think it possibly will. And, you know, that would be about 11, 20 or so. So I would watch this one. I wouldn't buy this one right now just because just because of the situation. Let's take a look at Tesla. This is for Notorious Ali. Notorious Ali 89. So I'm going to definitely follow you. And let's take a look at Tesla here. Tesla, as of late, has not been doing well, as you know. I did have a short on it. I did close the short a little bit early because, you know, when it started to move higher. Tesla, you know, the thing about, that's the odd thing about the stock market is some of the best stocks that were good 2 years ago are the ones you want to look to short, actually. Now, that's sort of how it works. That's why one of the reasons I'm shorting Amazon right now. As you can see, we had a kind of a down day today. We were down about 6% at 182. You know, the overall trend of Apple is down, is lower. So that's what we've got to face. Now we're below the 200-day line, we're below the 50, we're below the 21. And we're just at the 10-day line. The question is, it made its peak a little bit above the 10-day line. But here's the thing. I would probably look to short this, but I would look to short this at the 10-day line, and that is 213.37. So if this stock kind of goes, if this stock goes basically below about 183, and we're at 182, And this might be a place that you could short the stock. I know this sounds strange to you, but if you look at the relative strength line, it's pointing downward. The relative strength is 14. And what that means, of course, is that 86% of the stocks currently in the market are doing better than Tesla. So Tesla is not going up. It's going down. The question is, how do we benefit? Well, the way I would benefit would be with a short of Tesla. And you can borrow the shares. I did. I was successful borrowing these shares last week. And I did. I just did a short one. I just, you know, did a little profit taking, kind of a day trade in it. You know, shorting it at about 10:30 in the morning. That's typically when I like to do that. Then kind of waiting till about 2 or so to see if it had moved lower, and then closing that short. So I'm going to be making hopefully some content on shorting, so you can kind of understand what I'm talking about, because sometimes it's a little bit difficult to see. All right, how about we looked at Tesla, we looked at the spider. Okay, SPX. Let's look at SPX and see here. Let's go back to here. So SPX. And I'm flipping around. I'm going around to my, there we go. Okay, so SPX. Did I get that right? Yeah. Let's do MTTR, and that's for JKE 5454 on Twitter. Okay, this is a penny stock, Boy, just by the looks of this chart, I just would be, I can definitely, when I started trading, gosh, back when the dinosaurs ruled the earth, when I started trading, I definitely traded penny stocks. So I understand the attraction to penny stocks. I absolutely do. But here's the thing. I mean, right now, it's the market is right now the market is in a downward trend. So I think you got to be super careful when dealing with it. This is what I would consider a penny stock. It's a stock that trades below $2 a share. Now, why is that an issue? Why is that such an issue? Well, the reason it's such an issue is because many of the funds will not buy penny stocks. They will absolutely not do it because they're too volatile. So that's why. Okay, this is down to 298 and it's 302 after hours. I think with a relative strength of 7, that means that 93% of the stocks are doing better than this one. I think you got to pass on this one. It's just not investment quality. There's other ones, there's other ways to make money out there. And, you know, it's, I just don't think it works. I just don't think it works. All right, let's talk to Sarah. Thank you very much. You're looking for MRO. You know what? If I had to do it again, I would have done MRO. Let's take an MRO first. I think that this was the better of the two. This is the retailer and the refiner, Marathon, and not the E&P company, like I have, which I sold half of today because it didn't perform right. This is the one. This is the one you want. I think. I think this is the one you want. MRC. It's come down. It's tested. It looks like it's got a good test of the buy point. The pivot on this one, the buy point, cup with handle, stage 3, 28.91. So we're basically right at the pivot. This probably, my guess is, we're going to see this thing reverse higher tomorrow. This is a good place to buy it. Why? Because it's come right down to that pivot. It's at the it's right exactly on that 50-day moving average. And if we have a decent day, this will move higher. Now, there is a little bit of concern, of course, is that the relative strength has been flagging. It has been moving down. Currently, relative strength on this one, 94, making it in the top 6%. Of all shares out there. So looking pretty darn good. 100% checklist on this one. Definitely good stock. I probably would wait to see a confirmation that it's moving higher, but you definitely could buy this. I would try to buy this on a down day. And I definitely think that, we'll see. But I like this stock. It is kind of trending higher in this market. This is doing extremely, extremely well. All right. We can't see your screen. I'm sorry. Oh, that's it. Did I get that right? Hopefully you can see it now. You should be able to see the screen on YouTube. All right. Let's look at the XLE and see what we got there. XLE, of course, is the ETF that covers the energy sector. And let's pull that over here. Make sure that I'm broadcasting that. XLE. Yeah, there we go. Energy Select. All right. This is pulled down kind of like the other oil stocks. Cup. And then we're looking at kind of it forming a little bit of a handle here. And it tested right here. Now, I did have this one. I did sell it as it started moving lower. But if it gets support at the 50-day line, that's basically here, the 50-day line, which is at one, which is 86.02, it's at 87. If it gets support there and it goes down to there and it moves, starts to move higher, that would be a possible entry point for it. 92 is relative strength, so it's the top 8% of all the stocks out there. So it's really good. I definitely like the energy sector. It's a little tired though. It's a little tired. It's been, you know, it's been the one sector since the beginning of the year that has done the best, and definitely the case here. So, but I definitely think that you probably could pick this up. If you'll notice, we have been, every time it pretty much hits that 50-day line, it's moving higher. So I definitely think you could buy it, but kind of wait for the pullback, and hopefully you'll be able to see that. All right. So hopefully you can see my screen. I'm sorry. Sometimes it doesn't work. My stuff doesn't work, but you should be able to see the screen here now. And hopefully that'll work for you. Hopefully you'll be able to see it. All right, let's take a look at NIO. And of course, this is a Chinese EV stock. The Chinese stocks today actually did well. The one that did the best, PDD, Pin Dua Dua, did very, very well today. This one, though, is unfortunately in this kind of this long-term downward trend. Currently, $12.80 after hours. Now, here's something that I kind of am a little bit scared on. We had a sell-off today, and the volume is up on that sell-off. You can see that right now. So I think, at least for right now, I think that NIO essentially is dead. I think it's very, very dead. I think it's not ownable right now. So I would stay out of NIO. Bombadoc, thanks so much. You're looking at VLO. This is a Valero. This is a great company, in my opinion. It just got whacked today. Look at that, man. It came all the way down. Hopefully we'll get some support here. I have no idea why, but obviously what happens, we're getting towards the end of the year and it looks like somebody really big, some big fund dumped it. They probably took profits in it. This is probably profit taking here because I think overall it's a good company. This is why stop losses are so important, because even if a stock is doing well, we're still really in a market that's very, very weak. So we had 2 days of sell-off. That's why if something moves down against you about 7%, you gotta put that stop loss in there. I put mine in, as you can see, this is where I had an alert here. I didn't own the stock, but I did have an alert there right above about 122. So boy, this just got hammered. You're right. I don't know why. Maybe not a good week in refineries. You're probably right about that, Bombadoc. You're probably right that for some reason, and I had MRO and I had to cut my position there too. And BP, it's doing okay. I'm up on it, but it still is vulnerable. I think the market's going to turn over. I think it's going to go lower. That's part of the reason I'm moving to a short position on so many things. But thanks for that. Really appreciate it. All right, let's look at UNG and Boyle. All right, Boyle is a stock that moves with the natural gas futures. Natural gas futures have been moderating somewhat, as is the price of oil. So this one has I'm sorry, I didn't get that right. Is that right? Boyle, B-O-I-L. There we go. There we go. I fat fingered it and I didn't have, it's like, wow, that doesn't look like Boyle. It doesn't look like the Boyle chart. There you go. Lots of selling going on with Boyle. You just look at those red bars there. That is selling action. It's below the 200-day line. We have what they call the death cross that entered here. So this is 2x the performance of natural gas. Here's the thing about natural gas. We are getting some stabilization in the price of natural gas. It went way up, and then now with Qatar and some of the other, it is stabilizing a little bit. So probably not a good place to be in the market right now. The market is typically a forward-looking indicator, looking about 6 months out. So it does say that we're probably going to, according to this chart, we're probably going to get some moderation in the price of natural gas. Let's take a look at Boyle compared to the actual price of natural gas. So what I'm doing here, again, is I'm looking at Boyle, and then I'm also going to look at Nat Gas. Take a look. There we go. Let's see. Natural gas. Oops. Zero in. There we go. Natural gas. So interesting chart. Let's see if I can pull it up for everybody here. And let's pull up that chart for natural gas versus the Boyle ETF. Pretty similar in terms. They did converge here a little bit. Boyle underperforming natural gas. So kind of an interesting thing. You know, it does look like there's a little bit of convergence, but since really, you know, since it made its high back here in June, natural gas has sort of been trending lower, but very, very volatile. So probably wouldn't recommend either of these. All right, let's look at UNG. That's probably the last ticker for tonight. UNG. Let's see if I can get over to the UNG chart. There we go. And that is, natural gas. Okay, that is moving lower. You know, that is the interesting thing about the time you think that you figured it out, something changes. And definitely that's the case with natural gas. I definitely think we're likely to see natural gas move. We're likely to see natural gas move lower based on this chart. So, wow, I think you gotta say no to UNG and no to Boyle. I think they're both not gonna work as well for you here. All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. If you're not already signed up for the Action Trailer, it's super duper easy to get on that list. All you have to do is go to www.DallasTradingFloor and sign up. Also, if you're watching us on TikTok, just take a look. Just go to the link above, click on that, and we also have the heat map. We've got a lot of things that are going on, and get on our free list that we do send out emails from time to time. We also have the Discord group in the morning, the first 2 hours of trading, and I try to show you kind of what I'm doing out there as well. So thanks everybody so much for taking a look. Also, if you could, it would really help us out here if you could go and like the show, because it gets us out to a lot of people. So hit that like button, hit that like button, and we'll see you tomorrow at 5. Again, thanks everybody, and happy trading.